Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we wrap up our series looking at a conference message that was given by Mormon Apostle Jeffrey R. Holland titled, Tomorrow the Lord Will Do Wonders Among You. If you'd like to read this talk in its entirety, it can be found in the May issue of Ensign Magazine for 2016, and it begins on page 124. The reason why we wanted to draw attention to this talk is because there was an expression that Holland used in this talk where he says that a Latter-day Saint gets credit for trying. Now, certainly this notion goes against the grain of what Spencer W. Kimball taught in his book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, and earlier in the week, we read the statement from Spencer W. Kimball that seems to certainly go against that notion.
Yeah, he said, trying is not sufficient, nor is repentance complete when one merely tries to abandon sin.
And he actually applies the notion of trying to something that little kids do that adults should not use as an excuse. And so we've used that phrase from Kimball many times to show a Latter-day Saint. When you ask him, well, are you keeping all the commandments? Have you repented of all your sins? Usually the answer is, well, I'm trying. Now, some are taking this statement from Holland as somehow that is giving them a license to get away with merely trying. And Holland does talk about this desire to be righteous, and we want to talk about that today. But again, I don't think that Holland is trying to give the impression that Latter-day Saints are any less responsible when it comes to keeping all the commandments, or that they're any less responsible to repent or forsake all of their sins. Knowing what Holland has said in the past and what other leaders have said in the past about this, I can't imagine that that's where Holland's going with this. Now, why he says that you get credit for trying, when certainly that does sound like an outright contradiction to what Spencer Kimball said, that's his business. But unfortunately, some Latter-day Saints are taking this idea that you get credit for trying as that means we don't have to really do all the things we may have thought we needed to do in order to get into the celestial kingdom.
As you're saying here, Bill, it seems confusing, at least for us, to try to understand what was actually meant. Do you think there's any burden for Jeffrey R. Holland to clarify himself, perhaps at the next general conference, and give more details as to exactly what he means?
I would say absolutely he is responsible to give some clarifying statement on this, because as we were mentioning, you were talking to two young Latter-day Saints, and they had quoted what Holland had said as if that was somewhat of a license. They didn't use that word, but they got the impression that Holland was implying that they don't have to follow all the rigorous commands that they had been led to believe in the past.
And I want to make sure that it's understood these ladies were not trying to get away with anything. They were just being honest, understanding how difficult the leadership has been in explaining what needs to be done in order for them to get the very best their religion has to offer. Very sincere, but very devout. And one of them, 19, is planning to go on a mission next year.
He goes on in his talk to say, as you desire of me, he's quoting here, as you desire of me, so it shall be done unto you, the Lord has declared. Put your trust in that spirit which leadeth to do good, yea, to do justly, to walk humbly, to judge righteously. Then whatsoever you desire of me in righteousness, you shall receive. What does Holland say to that?
And that's a quote, by the way, from D&C 11, 8, 12, and 14. So he's taken three verses out of that section to be able to put that together. And he says, I love that doctrine. It says again and again that we are going to be blessed for our desire to do good, even as we actually strive to be so. And it reminds us that to qualify for those blessings, we must make certain we do not deny them to others. We are to deal justly, never unjustly, never unfairly. We are to walk humbly, never arrogantly, never pridefully. We are to judge righteously, never self-righteously, never unrighteously.
Notice how many times he uses the word never. Never. Well, what if you are? Because isn't that what sin is all about? We do, at times, behave like that. We do act arrogantly. We don't act humbly all the time. We don't always deal as just as we possibly could. What about in those cases? Are you saying that Jeffrey Holland is implying that maybe you can get away with that kind of behavior and that's okay? No, I'm making the case, and I'm coming to Jeffrey Holland's defense where I shouldn't be, but I think what he's trying to say is during this mortality, during this mortal probation, as Mormons understand this life to be, they are to work on these issues, overcome them, but overcome them eventually. I don't think he's trying to make a case that you should take humility and walking justly lightly. You need to overcome those, because we go back to what the Book of Mormon teaches. We go back to what the Doctrine and Covenants has to say. God doesn't look upon sin lightly, and those would certainly be sin. So when he says never, 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 doesn't that sound like, well, he's not going to give you credit if you do it? So what is Holland really saying when he says we get credit for trying? I think he's talking about in the context of this mortal probation, not that you are going to be rewarded with celestial exaltation somehow if you don't meet the requirements of celestial law.
He goes on in his talk and he says, "My brothers and sisters, the first great commandment of all eternity is to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength. That's the first great commandment. But the first great truth of all eternity is that God loves us with all of his heart, might, mind, and strength. That love is the foundation stone of eternity, and it should be the foundation stone of our daily life. Indeed, it is only with that reassurance burning in our soul that we can have the confidence to keep trying to improve, keep seeking forgiveness for our sins, and keep extending that grace to our neighbor."
But what if at the end of your life, even though you've kept seeking the forgiveness of your sins, at the end of your life, you still had sins you had not taken care of? You died in an unrepentant state in some areas of your life, because all of us have them. All of us have them.
Yeah.
And what if you were to die in that particular state? Does that mean that you're going to get into the celestial kingdom, that you were going to get the credit for trying, and eventually you'll get into the celestial kingdom after Judgment Day? Mormonism certainly doesn't teach that. But if he's talking about within the context of our mortal probation, keep seeking forgiveness for our sins. But wouldn't even Jeffrey Holland say that you have to get to a point in your life where that sin is no longer present with you?
Mm-hmm.
Because if it is still present with you, then what do you do with section 1, verse 31, that God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance? And then you get into verse 32. You need to repent of your sins, keep the commandments, then you get forgiveness. It's unforgiven sin that it's going to keep you from the celestial kingdom. So a Mormon needs to accomplish this in their lifetime. I don't think Mormons are reading Holland correctly if they're assuming that somehow when they die with unconfessed sins or sins that they have not truly repented of, that somehow they're going to get credit merely because they were in the Mormon church and they're going to say, well, I was trying to get rid of them. No, I think the Book of Mormon answers that. According to the Book of Mormon, according to Alma 34 in the Book of Mormon, you have procrastinated your repentance even until death. And according to Alma 34, if that should happen in your life, it says the devil has sealed you his, and that is the final state of the wicked.
And how about Moroni chapter 10, verse 32, which says, "Yea, come unto Christ and be perfected in him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength," which is what Holland was referring to, "then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God."
Then he gets really confusing for me when he cites George Q. Cannon, who was a member of the First Presidency. And Cannon said, "No matter how serious the trial, how deep the distress, how great the affliction, God will never desert us. He never has, and he never will. He cannot do it. It is not his character to do so. He will always stand by us. We may pass through the fiery furnace, we may pass through deep waters, but we shall not be consumed nor overwhelmed. We shall emerge from all these trials and difficulties the better and purer for them. Now, if a Mormon is going to take what Holland is saying, that you get credit for trying, as somehow you get into the celestial kingdom, I don't get that impression from this statement from George Q. Cannon. This sounds like something that you go through in an earthly trial. And certainly God is going to be there for a Latter-day Saint, they believe, during their earthly trial. So God will never desert us. He never has and never will. But folks, when it comes judgment day, if a Mormon has not kept celestial law during their mortal probation, God most certainly will, the God of Mormonism, most certainly will desert them in the hereafter. He will not be with them forever in that state. And this is what makes another statement very confusing, and we brought this up at the beginning of the week, where he talks about heaven is cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever.
What does that exactly mean, heaven is cheering you on? When you're in the terrestrial kingdom and you're not able to go to the celestial kingdom, does God even care that you're there? He forgets about you and you're done with. But before he even gives that quote, he quotes from Romans chapter 8. So many people have misused this, that all things work together for good to them that love God. But in Mormonism, if you don't get the very best this religion has to offer, which is exaltation in the celestial kingdom, that doesn't seem like all things are working together for good.
It doesn't seem like that at all. And that's why it's so confusing to me as to why he would make a statement, heaven is cheering you on today, tomorrow, and forever. If you don't get into the celestial kingdom, the God of Mormonism wants nothing to do with you unless you get into the celestial kingdom. He is basically limited to the celestial kingdom as far as who is going to be able to look upon him. You don't get that privilege if you end up in the terrestrial or telestial.
As we wrap this up today, Bill, he has that one phrase a couple paragraphs before we just read, and he says, keep seeking forgiveness for our sins. In a Latter-day Saint context, forgiveness is never attained. It's something they're continually seeking, but in Christianity, it's much different.
In Christ, the penalty of our sins were taken care of at the cross at Calvary. In Mormonism, you take care of the penalty of sin by overcoming the sin, never committing that sin again. That's not the way it is understood in the Christian faith. And unfortunately, many Latter-day Saints will never have that assurance because of those guidelines that they have been given. And I don't think Jeffrey Holland really solves that problem in this conference message.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has worked hard to equip people to understand the differences between Mormonism and the Christian faith. At MRM.org, we have dozens of articles and video resources that will educate you in a variety of ways. Or perhaps your church needs to schedule Mormonism Research Ministry to come for a live weekend presentation. Remember, we're here to equip the body of Christ. Let us know what we can do for you. Contact us through our website. Again, that's MRM.org.